Chapter 1. It was getting harder and harder to hide the fact that the ingredients she was using to make their meals were coming from outside the shelter. Pallavi stirred the pot of boiling water and added the chopped carrots and potatoes. At least she didn't have to explain the water. Her father had gone to great lengths to ensure that they had access to fresh water from rainfall that was filtered to purity. She glanced over her shoulder to see her brother, Mahir, chatting with her father. At 9 years old, he should be getting into trouble on the streets, not talking to their father about the best way to protect everyone if someone should breach the shelter defenses. Mahir was small for his age, and she couldn't help thinking that was because he hadn't been allowed to run in the sun for years. He'd been so young when their mother died. Pallavi was 11 when they first came to the shelter. She knew what it was like to feel the sun on her face, and now that she was sneaking out, she at least had some freedom. "Daughter, the food is starting to smell delicious." Her father's voice was weak. He tried to hide it, but Pallavi knew he was ill. The next time she went out, she must find some medicine. Mahir walked over and took the spoon from her so she could continue preparing ingredients while he stirred. "He will guess soon," Mahir whispered. Pallavi ignored him. If their father became suspicious about how fresh the food was, she would think of a lie. "Our garden has produced more than I could have hoped," her father said. Sometimes he seemed to read her mind. "You children have learned to garden well." Pallavi had been hoping that the discussion would not come up for months. "It is like Mama is watching and helping us." Her father liked to think his dead wife was watching over them. It was another sign of his illness that he simply nodded and didn't launch into a long story about how her mother had been the best wife, the most loving mother. Pallavi remembered her mother, and every time she looked in the mirror, the reflection looked more like the woman her mother had been. It was easier to keep her dark hair long because the shelter was supposed to be sealed. That meant there was nowhere to dispose of clippings, at least as far as her father knew. He was so afraid of what might be going on outside their doors that he seemed to choose to believe they were more self-sufficient than they really were. She had her mother's gray eyes, and it looked like she was going to be the same height, although 5.5 feet could hardly be called height. The rest of her features she'd inherited from her father, her strong nose, her cheekbones, and her brown skin. And one more thing, distrust of strangers. The decision to go outside the first time took so long because Pallavi was convinced the world was full of danger. Only dire need had made her squeeze through the broken slats one night. Nothing bad had happened, but every time she ventured out, her stomach tightened and her breath caught as she slid the loose wood aside.
"It's been a long time, Papa. Eventually we will have to go outside. When will we know it's safe?"
Her father coughed. It started as though he was clearing his throat, but then developed into a wheezing, compulsive gasp. Talking about going outside upset him, but never this much. She left Mahir at the fire and went to her father's side.
"It's okay, Papa. I'm sure it's not time yet. As you say, we still have a lot of vegetables."
She handed him a glass of water and rubbed his back until the coughing subsided. Ava moved the lantern to the end of the next row of shelves. When they'd found this root cellar, there had been no doubt that it was where they would hide all their supplies. 3 days of clearing and digging out some fallen areas gave them enough room to store all the harvest, preserves, and their dwindling supply of medicines. It was a bonus that it was far enough away from the house that if they needed to, they could extend it without worrying about the foundations. And they could use the basement for storing things that needed to be kept dry, at least for now. She hoped that eventually they would need the space for more bedrooms as more people joined them. She looked at the next page in the notebook she used to keep track of what was left, so they knew what would happen as they got through winter.
4 full barrels of carrots unopened. She looked through the lattice they used to cap the barrels of vegetables and made a note. "I'll have to talk to Mello," she muttered. "That's not what I call full." The harvest had been good, but it was going to be tight over winter. With so few people to work the farm, they'd had to limit how much they planted. But if Lena's plan to create alliances worked out, maybe they would end up with some temporary workers from other communities so that they could supply food for the farm and a lot of other people. She moved on to the next item on the list. Cabbage, 6 crates, all full. At least that was what Mello had written in the book. Ava didn't want to open the crates, but the one in front had too much space between the heads. The top was still in place, but if she was going to talk to Mello about being precise, she needed to do it herself. Placing the book on the shelf, she hefted the crate onto the floor and then jumped aside as 3 cabbages fell out. Damn it! There was a missing slat in the back. "Ava, we need you at the house." Ava looked up to see Tick outlined in the doorway. His frame had filled out with the hard work on the farm, and he lost that slight edginess of a former gangbanger. "I need to finish here," she said, grunting as she placed the crate back on the shelf. "And I need a new crate. Can you get it for me?" Tick stepped through the doorway and walked to join her. He looked into the crate and whistled. "How many missing? Is it going to be a problem?" "I have to check all of them to see how many we need to replace. I don't think it's going to be a problem unless a lot of the crates are broken. And the cabbages that fell out might be somewhere under the shelving, ready to be put back." Tick pushed the crate a little further back on the shelf. "I'll help you do it later, but you need to come to the house now. We have a visitor. Lena wants all of us there when we talk to him." "Someone from Crystal? They've come to tell us their decision on the alliance?" She picked up the lantern and stuck the notebook in her pocket. "No, we're still waiting to hear from Crystal. I guess their council must hash everything out before they make a decision. This is someone we've met before. Come on." Ava entered the back door of the farmhouse. She lay her notebook on the kitchen counter as she passed through. There were voices in the front of the house, so she assumed that was where she was needed. As she passed through the dining and living rooms, she hoped that it wasn't some kind of accident that needed medical supplies. Every time they used up some of the supply, it was just a little step closer to relying on folk remedies and herbal concoctions. The front door was open, and Ava could see Keith and Deb standing just in front of the opening, both holding rifles. Just in front of them, Lena stood blocking the stairs. So not an accident. She stepped between Keith and Deb to see her son, Jason, also holding a gun. No matter how often she saw him go armed, it bothered her that such a young child would have to learn how to defend his home. He should be dealing with getting his first girlfriend at age 13, not facing down threats. That was the world now. The plagues had wiped out a way of living as well as so many of the children. "Why should we trust you?" Lena asked. "The last time we saw you, we almost lost our freedom, and we did lose half our supplies. You realize that almost killed us all." Ava stepped up beside Lena as she spoke and saw who was standing on the path. Evan. That's the only name she had for him. On their journey to the farm, he'd been a guard at the Community of Truth and complicit in his leader's plan to trap people and work them to death. Ava was surprised that Lena hadn't simply shot him, but then they would have had to dispose of the body. Ava watched as Evan held his arms out to the side, showing that he had no weapons within easy reach. "Things have changed. Abigail is gone." He kept his arms out to his side, relaxed. Ava turned to Lena and noticed Scott standing at the other end of the porch. "Did you check to see if he has any weapons hidden?" Lena kept her eyes on Evan as she gestured to Scott. "I wasn't sure we would let him get this close. I'm still not sure we want to listen to him, but that's a good idea. Scott, pat him down." They all watched carefully as Scott searched Evan. It didn't make sense that he wouldn't have some weapon. Where is everyone else? Ava didn't want to take her attention away from Evan. Even though she didn't have a weapon, she wanted to make sure that there were no signs of a threat. You mean, where are the kids? Lena knew her too well for Ava to deny it. I could only see Jason. Where's Maya? And where's Mello? Maya is in her room. I suspect she's watching out of her window. Mello went to the graves this morning. When they had arrived at the farm almost a year ago, there were two people living there, husband and wife, both too old to make the best of the farm. It had taken some effort, but Lena had convinced them that they were better off taking in the ragged group of people who had arrived at their door in a wagon than letting the farm go to ruin. Over the winter, both had succumbed to the flu. There's nothing, Scott called to the group on the porch. He stepped away from Evan and joined Lena, taking his rifle from where it leaned against the porch rail. Ava wasn't convinced. Just because he didn't have anything on him didn't mean that Evan wasn't the bait in a trap. You didn't come all this way without some kind of protection. Where is it? And did you walk? Evan lowered his arms, apparently thinking that he passed the test. I left my weapons with my horse just down the road. I have a rifle, some ammunition, a bow, and two quivers of arrows. Ava could see that Lena wasn't sure what to do. Their history with this man and his community was enough to send him away. But they were so few, they needed alliances. That's why they had approached Crystal, a town a couple of days away, to make alliances and make them both stronger. Ava stepped a little closer to Lena to speak quietly. It's going to be hard to learn what we need if he's standing that far away. Lena uncrossed her arms and beckoned Evan. You're not entering the house. We'll do this on the porch, and anyone who wants to stay can stay. As Evan walked up to join them, Ava tried to get Jason to leave, but he refused to budge. Scott said he would make some tea and disappeared into the house. Deb drifted away, but Keith stood his ground. Ava went into the dining room and brought back two chairs. They might as well all be comfortable while they listened to what Evan had to say. Maya ran down the stairs and helped her by bringing another chair. When they were settled, which meant that Ava and Lena sat across the small table, placing Evan across from them, leaving him no room to escape, the others shifted their weight, keeping their weapons ready. What do you mean Abigail is gone? Lena asked. She had a sweet deal there in the Community of Truth, and no one seemed willing to make any changes when we came through. Evan looked around and then relaxed back in his chair. Like I said, she's gone. Do you mind putting the guns down? I'd hate to have someone shot by accident. Ava let Lena take the lead. She wasn't crazy about having all the guns around them either, but until Evan explained what was going on and why he was there, it didn't seem prudent to let down their guard. Lena considered for a few minutes and then waved at the floor. You can relax. We know he's not armed, and he can't get out that easily. The weapons were placed on the ground with only a little complaining. When people were quiet again and everyone was around the table, Lena straightened in her chair. Okay, no more excuses. What happened to Abigail? And why are you here?